Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Kaya Talk.
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
Just gone 15 minutes after 7. I'm Nastasia Arantza, standing in for Gugule Tumfuphi this evening. And I suppose keeping with the election theme, or rather the theme around coalitions, the Agricultural Business Chamber has cautioned around the uncertainty within the agricultural sector that would emerge as a result of a coalition government in a case of no single political party winning an outright majority come the May 29th general elections. To talk to us a little bit more about this, we are joined by Wandile Sehlobo, who is the chief economist at the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa. Wandile, thank you so much for your time. So let's talk about some of the uncertainties or some of the concerns that are, you know, floating around as the seventh administration, comes into play come May 29th.
Thanks for having me on, Natasha. I think... The view on our side is that, of course, we will see what happens at the end of May and what the outcome of the elections will be. But I think whoever wins the election, there's always an appetite to review the policies that exist to say, okay, now we are in a new administration, and let's look at the policies that exist and see if there needs to be some changes or not. And we think that on agriculture, there is no need for any policy changes going forward. Essentially, we think that the agriculture and the agri-processing master plan, which was launched some time back in May 2022, provides all of that necessary to actually grow the South African agricultural sector, improve its competitiveness, attract investments, deal with issues of inclusion, as well as the job creation. And of course, then the question many people may ask and say, if then this master plan is so perfect, why was it not implemented? Why are we seeing its gains? And there was a number of things that disrupted, of course, its implementation. There's a lot of crises or many crises that we've been seeing in agriculture. Either it's the issues of the ports, it's certain export markets that have been closing, animal diseases, all of those things. I would think that they've taken the attention of the stakeholders away for a moment from the implementation of the master plan. And I think after the elections, whoever comes into government, they have to dust up that document, put it on a table and say, how do we begin to implement it and not think about other ideas that are outside? Because I think that document is fit for growing our rural economy.
Mm. As you mentioned, agricultural policy may not require any review. Are there other sectors of the economy where such a review may be necessary?
I mean, I think the other folks that look in the other sectors of the economy, they may argue that there are necessary reforms here and there. But I think, in my view, the focus has to be really on practical things. The network industries remain some of the central areas to say, okay, there are reforms now that are underway, but how can we accelerate the focus on that? And by network industries, we're referring to electricity, water, as well as, of course, then the rail and the road network. Those are some of the things that I think we need to be focusing on. All of the other reforms that could be made in industries, they should follow that, because there are practical things that you need for businesses to actually do well, which is why we think in agriculture in specific, because someone may say, okay, but the other things that we need to look at are issues around land reform. Should we be coming up with new policies? What exactly should we be doing? We think even there, there's no need for new policies per se. But what one can do, can first look at what is in the government's books in as far as the land supply. Because the South African government, in its agricultural land holding account, holds about 2.5 million hectares of land, which was acquired through the proactive land acquisition strategy. And I think that's the land that we can begin to release with title deeds to carefully selected beneficiaries. And of course, then pair that with some form of training, as well as the planned finance, to ensure that the production happens at a commercial scale, so that the job creation and the growth that we all want from this sector can materialize.
With that said, is that what you mean then in your note where you say that the sector needs a sharper focus on implementing the existing programs?
That's exactly what we are referring to, because even on that, I mean, The note that we sent out to clients on Monday was not even taking a step of saying perhaps maybe the current leadership of the department has not been doing its part. They certainly have been doing their work. And in fact, the intention and the view that we get from the leadership of the department is that they want to march forward to release this land to new beneficiaries. And on some of the things that have taken their focus away, issues of animal health, we were all aware of the avian influenza in the poultry sector at the end of last year, foot and mouth disease in cattle industry, and the department and the industry were working collectively to actually address some of those challenges that we saw there, which is why we see now even the exports and the opening up of new markets being announced every now and then by the Department of Agriculture and Industry. It's aspects like this that I would say, at least last year, much of the focus was in. We think that now going forward, we have to say, okay, in the master plan, what were the commodities that we have prioritized, and what are the commodity corridors, and who should be doing what amongst us all as the agricultural stakeholders working collaboratively with the government and the new entrant players into the sector. That's what we think that after the election should be the primary focus.
In talking about collaborating, are you seeing that interest or that focus in collaborating with businesses at a provincial level of the government?
It's perhaps where improvements need to be made, because the master plan that I'm talking about, and I know that South Africans are tired of hearing the word master plans, but the agriculture and agro-processing master plan, we think that it is much more unique. Firstly, it was not designed by the government and then imposed it on the private sector. It was co-created by government, labor, business and community all coming up to this and agreeing what is tangible for doing this. But of course, then much of this was happening at a national level. What I think has been perhaps maybe a shortcoming on the government side is ensuring that this is well communicated to the provinces as well as the municipalities. Because at the end of the day, in Pretoria, we talk and create policies and all of these things, but the real economic activity happens at a ground level, and we have to make sure that there's coherence on what is being discussed and discussed. The administration has to focus on that, on firstly communicating that, then reigniting the enthusiasm amongst all of the stakeholders, and then calibrating ways of intervention of saying, okay, in this particular area of the Eastern Cape, this is what we're doing. In Limpopo, this is what we're doing. Free State, this is what we're doing, and so on and so on in all of our provinces, which are interventions that the master plan already speaks on. But I do think that that needs to be done concurrently with this issue of a release of land, because the black players that want to come into agriculture at a commercial scale will be able to make much more progress if that land release that is already sitting in the government books is also transferred to them with title deeds, which is the view that the current leadership at the department agrees needs to happen.
What I love about your work is that you get to also interact with a lot of the farmers, a lot of those who are in the agribusiness value chain, so to speak. What is top of mind for them when it comes to challenges right now?
I think what's on top of mind to the guys beyond the issue of the election, there are some fundamental things that we think needs to be addressed. The first one, of course, this issue of the ongoing El Nino-induced drought. We are out now of the El Nino, but the effects of the drought are still there, particularly on grains and the oilseeds farmers. So I do think that the government continuous interaction to understand the cost and the impact of that is an important thing. But beyond that, though, that's a short-term issue. There are some of the things that are weighing on their minds. For example, the persistent port inefficiencies. Yes, there is collaboration with Transnet, and the leadership of Transnet is working well with agriculture. We are trying to deal with that, but it's something that is still there as well as the rain. But there's also a deterioration in road infrastructure in South Africa and municipalities that are just not doing their part to pushing the country forward. That's something that we are worried about. We think that needs to be engaged. In addition to that, you hear more of the rise in crime incidences, animal disease issues that are still lingering, and of course, the security of electricity supplies, even though we have gone for quite some time now without load shedding. And lastly, I would say the other thing that is important to us is this issue of geopolitics, because we are a sector that exports more than half of what we produce. So South Africa's positioning in the world, as well as who are we friendly with, We need to have that alignment properly well so that we continue to access the markets that we are accessing. And on top of that, then you have all of these shipping challenges on logistics in the Red Sea and the other areas. These are all things that we consistently think about, and certainly the agribusinesses in our latest surveys, they mentioned that these are things that they are thinking about that are affecting the profitability of their businesses.
A little bit earlier on, you spoke about protectionism in export markets. What's driving that, especially in markets, say, with China, the EU, and Africa?
I think in the EU, we are competing with the likes of Spain for some of the products. If you think about citrus, Spain is the one that is our competitor there. There may be a motivation or a temptation on the EU to raise all of these non-tariff barriers that they referred to. Years ago, it was a black spot issue. Now it's a false coddling moth, but we think that there's no sound scientific backing on that, to the extent that you probably saw the news last week that South Africa has filed at the WTO, the World Trade Organization, to table this issue, this complaint about the EU. That's the process that is underway, and the legal teams of South Africa and the EU are looking onto that. We also, in China, the issue was around the animal diseases. We had a foot and mouth disease in the cattle industry, but we saw China blocking also our wool exports. And China is an important market for South African wool, because 70% of South African wool goes to China, and China is the biggest buyer of wool in the world. So they are really the only game in town. When they were not there, we felt the impact of that. But the South African authorities have engaged with them. That market has reopened. We have now a warm relationship with China. They are even opening up for more of our agricultural products to go there. In Africa, we have a challenge, particularly our neighbors, of vegetable exports. Botswana and Namibia, there's been an unfriendly relationship with us in as far as the exports of those products. But that's something, again, that through Minister Didiza and the authorities of these countries, we are trying to work on resolving that, because I think that there should be a warm and a good relationship amongst us as neighbors here, and not to arbitrarily put all of these barriers on exports of the product. So those are some of the things that we're currently looking at. But I think generally in the world, the geopolitical space is something that we are looking at, because the markets that we have, we are not limited to them. We are aiming to grow our export markets to other destinations, because we think that South Africa's agricultural output is about to increase significantly in the coming years.
With that said, I mean, we spoke about load shedding, logistical constraints, et cetera, et cetera. Are there any green shoots, pun intended?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to paint the picture that this is a sector that, you know, it has all of these problems. Agriculture is a growing sector, and our sense is that these are all the near-term and medium-term challenges. But looking beyond these, we already see some scientists telling us that we are out of El Nino, and next year we are back to La Nina, which means then the weather conditions could improve and we could still have a good production season. We will have a temporary blip of this year, but I think going forward things will be well. And I mean, if people can look at indications, take for example our exports. With all of the challenges we had last year, we saw record agricultural exports of about $13.2 billion in South Africa. So, and the volumes were also good. So that is just to indicate that this is a sector that is growing. It faces certain challenges, but it is growing. In the coming years, there's that potential of an over 2 million hectares of land that could be put in production by primarily Black South African if it's done successfully at a commercial level. That's another room also for job creation and all of the other good things that can happen in the rural economy.
Wandile, always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. That is Wandile Sehlobo, who's a chief economist at the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa, also known as AGBIS, talking to us about agricultural policy under coalition governments and what that would mean, and also the expectations. What can we expect? Thank you so much to Wandile for joining us. It's just gone 29 minutes after 7.
You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.